Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, whose mission is to extend Christian ministry by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and by working with others to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Now, here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it is my special honor and delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our guest Dr. George Comiskey. George and I have been friends for many, many years, have shared many adventures together, shall we say, adventures of life. And George, it's a delight to welcome you back this Sunday afternoon.
Tom, it's wonderful to be here.
George is with the Center for the Collegiate Recovery Community at Tech and is a professor, is faculty in that department, does wonderful work with our young people. Well, it's not exactly the night before Christmas, but it's the Sunday before Christmas. So, George, it's a special delight for me, for you and I to go down memory lane on this special Sunday afternoon. George, we've had a wonderful, wonderful month of activities in Lubbock, artistic activities, which really speak to the spirit of the season. And I would be very remiss if we didn't remember the recent production of The Phantom.
Ah, yes. I mean, that day, getting a chance to sit up in the upper bleachers with you was such a magnificent production. What a gift to Lubbock and this community, and not just David Gashin, who we knew had the Broadway experience and was bringing his experience to the table, but also Marissa Hernandez, who played Christine Dye, just such a phenomenal voice. And the range, and her and Joshua Reynolds playing Raul, they just embodied the essence of a relationship and the musicality that I don't know that we've seen in Lubbock before, and a great time. And then just the beauty of the production itself.
And kudos to the producer.
Oh, yes. Everyone that came together, all the artists at every level, the staging, all the stage hands, and everyone that had a piece in it.
This is the season before Christmas, the season of Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, the season of memory of reminiscence. It's a season really of light and darkness. We'd like it to be a perfectly glorious, nostalgic, light-filled celebration of the holidays, but it's not always that way. It's light and darkness. And you talked about in the Phantom, especially when Christina kissed the Phantom.
I mean, from the moment the mask comes off and you see the reality of who this man is and what he's had to deal with his entire life, his mother not even being able to embrace his physicalness in the world, and what a pain that is to have carried all of his life. And then for her to reach up and kiss him, and for him to know that it's just a moment of being embraced, that it's not anything that's going to be ongoing.
How does the season of light and darkness speak to you?
I think it's a time for people to look at, you know, what truly matters. And if it's all just the lightness, what is lost? There's a lot of pain in the human experience. And for people who truly live this pain on a day-to-day basis, who have physical pain getting up out of bed, people have emotional pain with losses that they've experienced in this last year, but maybe years and years ago that they really haven't grieved and come to terms with, then this season can be a very difficult time. And it's a time to look at the balance of what does the darkness bring to our world? What gift is it to ourselves and to others to embrace that darkness, but also to find the light within that darkness.
What hope do you find in it? What enlightenment do you find in it?
Being part of a recovery community and knowing that people who struggle bring a new sense of what aliveness is, because through their struggles, they learn how precious, what a miracle and gift that life is. And so when somebody truly struggles and finds the heart of what that pain has been for them, then when they step back into the lightness, they have a new sense of embracing that light, and they take full advantage of it at that point.
You'll find this expressed so elegantly in all the art forms, in music, in theater, in dance, so many expressions.
Which we've seen over this holiday season, the Nutcracker and all the musical performances that have happened around town from the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. They've brought to us that gift of the arts boiling down and really embracing what the darkness entails, but then what the lightness opens us up to.
Yeah, we think in particular of the wonderful performance just across the way at the Broadway Church of Christ, where the chorale and the symphony came together for the traditional Christmas songs. You mentioned Yvonne Rex-Key and her magnificent production of The Nutcracker. Not to forget Chris Smith and the Celtic Christmas, which is dear to my heart since I was the Faratee for so many years, and the wonderful gift that Chris and his group brings to us in the celebration of the season.
Yes, the storytelling of it all, what this season embodies with story and how story comes through so many different cultures and how it gets embraced is wonderful.
As you remember Christmas, what comes to mind in childhood or from your adult life that is particularly significant to you?
I think there's a mysticalness to it. The child in all of us looks to what's going to be there that we've not known before. What are we going to get to see? What are we going to get to experience that's going to be new this season? Those little bright eyes of the child when they see the tree and see all the gifts of the season. But then also the despair, the hurt, the pain that some folks don't have. You know, there's a lot of people that will not have this Christmas season. And do we recognize that? Do we reach out to those people? It's a season of giving. It's a season of gifting those who may not have.
I'm wondering, how does compassion fit into this picture for you in terms of awareness, in terms of connectedness, in terms of community?
I think when we talked earlier about the darkness and what that darkness brings, it brings a sense of compassion. If an individual has been hurt, when they come out of that hurt, they experience others' hurt and pain in a whole new way. And I think that's the gift of having lived life and having had experiences that put us in touch with some pain. Not that we want that for anyone, but once someone's truly experienced that and knows what that means for them in their life, then they reach out to others and they experience others and they're able to be present to others. And that's the gift of being on the other side of hurt and having compassion, is to be present to someone in their hurt, and especially when their hurt embodies shame. Shame can take people to such unhealthy places. If people have compassion for someone who is ashamed, then they can help them through.
So yours would be an invitation to storytelling, to sharing our story with others in the context and in the celebration of the season, to be very human, to be very present, and to realize that most of life comes one day at a time. In my experience, as we have moved through the season and continue with the season, a sense of thankfulness and a sense of thanksgiving and a sense of gratitude.
Yes, indeed.
George, we will take a short break and then we will be back to continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care online at www.covenanthealth.org. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. And on this Sunday afternoon, we are delighted to have as our guest, Dr. George Comiskey. And George, before we went on break, we were talking about the importance of storytelling. As you recall your own experience, do any particular plays come to mind?
Oh, there's so many. Shakespeare has so much that embodies the human experience, that sense of trying to balance what we want as our ego and what the human experience is going to bring to us and how we deal with that. There was a play that I did in Detroit. It's an Edward Albee play, and it's that delicate balance that we all carry, this kind of front and what we want our lives to be. Do we ever reach that? Is what we experience in the moment enough? And how do you come to terms with what life brings you and where you eventually end up in life?
And so this play in a particular way captures the light, darkness, and the in-between, the half-light.
Yes, and that place of not knowing whether your life is ever going to be what you set out for it to be. And can you come to terms with that?
You talked about the element of surprise, the sense of childish surprise. How does that particularly fit your understanding, your appreciation, your own anticipation of this ongoing holiday season?
Well, I just think that what a child brings to the holidays is the fresh eyes, the sense of that there's something magical that just a wrapped box can bring, that sense of excitement. It doesn't matter what's in it. It's just that there's a box under the tree and one of them's going to be for them and it's going to enhance their life. It's going to bring something new to their life. And And hopefully we all have that with some element. And at times, because of the darkness, I think we lose that sense of childhood anticipation of what's to come.
So your hope for our listeners this Sunday afternoon would be that there's a box, that somehow a box will unfold, a new magic, a new understanding of light and enlightenment during this season.
That there's something there that no matter what they've been through and what this year has been of 2016, that 2017 holds the possibility of something new, something that is going to open up for them and bring a new sense of who they are and the relationships that they have in their life.
I think as we face the present and the future, we have to be communities of hope. What do you see the community challenge in this?
I think you and I have talked about this many times, that part of the challenge of community is to be present to other in a way that lets others show up fully. When we struggle, when struggle's not pretty, it's hard to sit down with someone else. It's hard to be present to someone when they're in their ugliness. We talked about it with the phantom. We talk about it with ourselves. People of recovery don't have pretty stories all the time, but they need community that comes together and is able to listen to those stories and love them and accept them in that place of pain so that they can then move through that pain to a new realization of what life is for
them. And perhaps this particular challenges of community of faith is in a real sense to embrace us where we are, wherever we find our particular community of faith, a place where we can be sustained, upheld, with a sense of hope of the ongoingness of the human existence, united by this strong sense of community.
Yeah. The pain gets deeper in isolation. When someone is cut off from community, their pain becomes so overwhelming. Community, healthy community, true community, community that embraces the hurt and the pain and the shame, allows that person to show up and release that hurt.
You've talked to me about the notion of shame reduction, kind of that delicate balance. Tell us a little about that.
It's the journey that we're all on, is that we're, as a human being, going to experience some hurt and pain and shame. And if there's not community that can help us to understand that and come to terms with that, then it overwhelms us. We know that it's not going to go away. That's the light in the darkness of life. And to know that I'm human and I'm going to mess up, but there's people and there's community that's going to help me come to terms with that. And that's where growth happens. If we just want to live in the light, I think that that's an unhealthy place. That's fantasy and non-reality.
Okay, it's nice. It's nice to fantasize once in a while.
That's right.
And to imagine
right.
that never land, shall we say. George, I often make a distinction between we feel guilty when we do wrong, but we feel shamed when we feel we are bad people. I realize that we're human. We're broken, we struggle, we do good, we do bad. We are not bad people, though. We are not a bad society. We are not a bad world.
Right. And community helps us realize that, because in ourselves, we can feel that way. We can hold on to that and it can overwhelm us. But if community's there, it can be part of the dissipation of that.
And I'd love to come back again to the outpouring of goodness and of light in our artistic and in our giving community over the past weeks, which will continue in the week before Christmas.
I see it everywhere. Whenever anyone gets on stage, they represent every man, every woman. And all of us get to have a place and a voice through these artists. And I think what they bring to us is this opportunity to have the challenge of what it is to be a human in the darkness, exposed for all its challenges, just destruction sometimes. But through that, we are human beings that can embrace one another, embrace our hurt and pain.
And there's a time for everything under heaven.
Yes.
And as Shakespeare, we have our entrances and our exits.
Yes, indeed.
And indeed. George, we'll take a short break and we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care online at www.covenanthealth.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. This Sunday afternoon, we're delighted to have as our special guest, George Comiskey. George, we've been reminiscing about Christmas, about the season of light and darkness, of finding meaning in being present to the season and the fullness of our humanity. While we were off air, Chuck, look, our wonderful producer, George, and I were talking about having these boxes of surprise. I said I will, before the end of this segment, I will open a special box for both of you. And George says, well, nobody knows, but Chuck knows because he's the Santa Claus of this threesome. So we'll see how it evolves. I love Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales. And if you would, read for us a little of A Christmas in Wales, which I think captures an all-time Christmas and captures some of the present celebration of the season, too.
So from Dylan Thomas, he says, for dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding. And after dinner, the uncles sat in front of the fire, loosened all buttons, put their large, moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts, and sisters scuffled to and fro, bearing turrons. Auntie Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse whimpering at the sideboard, to have three aspirins. But Auntie Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard singing like a big bosom thrush. I would blow up balloons to see how big they would blow up to. And when they burst, which they always did, the old uncles jumped and mumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, the uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending, I would sit among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model man-o-war, following the instructions for little engineers, and produce what might be mistaken for a sea-going tram car.
Thanks, George. Dylan Thomas, for me and for many people, captures an old Christmas celebration from a child's point of view in Wales. And again, I would encourage our listeners this afternoon, just Google Dylan Thomas and find it in its entirety, because it's a lovely, lovely poem that captures the wonder of the season. And especially where communities of faith will be celebrating or have celebrated the special expressions of light in this season. And for our Jewish friends, Hanukkah, of course, with the menorah and the nine candles, I think is a very expression, again, of light and darkness. And the wonderful story of how in the rededication of the temple, they just had enough oil for one night, but then miraculously, it didn't run out.
I think it comes back to that, what do I need today? Do I have enough for today? And not having enough when they started, not thinking that there would be enough, but then every day what was needed showed up. And can we find in today what we need?
And again, you know, one with our Jewish friends celebrating Hanukkah, of course, in this special way. And then Kwanzaa, which will begin on December the 26th and run through January the 1st. It's a special African-American celebration of the season of unity, self-determination, of collective responsibility. Again, which finds expression in a candle holder with seven candles in the Kanara. The Kwanzaa itself is the first fruits of the harvest.
All of the faith traditions speak to what do we have in community? What do we bring to community? What do we take from our community? What does our community give us? And what do we gift our community with?
And then there's the wonder of Christmas for all of the Christian traditions. I'm always remembered of as a wonderful folk singer in the 60s. He sent out a Christmas card once and said, congratulations, God, it's a boy. And that, for me, in my childlike way, it captures the wonder of the season in terms of a God-made man, you know, the wonder of the Christmas celebration. What does Christmas mean to you in your own special way?
It's a season of an unfolding. There's something that is within all of us and the communities that we're a part of that's growing and finding a new level of giftedness.
And being an incarnational warrior from the Christian perspective is such a wonderful way. You know, God in Christ has embraced the fullness of our humanity. He came in the fullness of his humanity, embraces all of us in the fullness of our humanity. And I think there has to be hope in that.
You know, when you talk about all of our humanity, that's a pretty scary place for some people, but it can also be a place of great giftedness.
And to come back to, you know, the delicate balance, which has stayed with me since our recent conversations, the delicate balance between light and darkness, between our saintliness and the other side of us, which we're well aware of, and balancing that. We have a great friend, Emily Sharp, and she kind of captured the season for me recently and for you when she talked about stirring the gravy. Can you remember the story of stirring the gravy?
An older relative who mentally was not as sharp as she had been at some point in her life, formerly been a wonderful cook. Her place at the table for Thanksgiving was to sit and stir the gravy. As all of us know, if you don't stir the gravy, it can be either really bad gravy or just not in a good place. So it takes a lot of patience and attentiveness. And that is such a gift of the season to say, what is my place? Where am I stirring? And what am I helping to create by just being present in a very easy, gentle way of stirring that gravy?
What does gravy do, George?
Oh, it adds flavor. It brings a robustness to the meal.
Now, I promised a special box. So for Chuck and for George and for myself and our families and for our listeners, I hope that the box, mysterious as it is, that as you open it, you will find within it the gravy of the season, that which will enrich you, your life, your loved ones, with the love of God, of Christ, the love of Hanukkah, the love of Kwanzaa, the love of anywhere where people come together to celebrate our oneness as human beings. That is our special prayer and wish in the box as it opens up for all of us this season. George, would you like to add something to that?
The best of the season to all.
Okay, and Chuck, to you, our beloved producer, to you and to your family, and for the wonderful, wonderful gift you are to us in making Faith Matters possible for our listeners. We are so grateful to you. You are such an elegant producer to work with. And from the bottom of my heart, from this wonderful time we've had together in these seasons and in the ongoing, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful reverie. And I hope that each and every one of you who are listening and your families and your loved ones will have a blessed Christmas and a wonderful holiday season.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, working to improve health and quality of life in our community. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ-FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.